It's been a minute. It's been a few minutes. Yeah, it's been a while since we released anything here from Hiker for the podcast. No excuses other than life. Yeah, it's been a wild year. I know I keep saying that it's just wild times, but you know, everybody here at Hiker, we're a small startup. We're growing, but we're still very much considered a small startup, and we all wear many hats. You know, I'm head of marketing, so marketing is a library of various different things, and I do all of them while also helping the guys to run the company and build a business. And yeah, so it's been a wild year. Podcast has kind of taken a bit of a backseat. But I've heard from a lot of people that, you know, they miss the podcast, you know, and, you know, inflates my ego a little bit, not going to lie, but definitely want to get back on the podcast wagon. And in saying that, the podcast is back in this format. I have the new video version of the podcast now up on YouTube. You can go and check that out there. But we're also working on a lot more content. So you're going to hear a lot more from me and the guys. You're going to see a lot more of us as well and of our guests, but we're also going to kind of spread our wings a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit more about the hiking world, you know, what's going on in the world of outdoors, navigation, through hiking, backpacking, you know, cartography. You know, if you're into hiking, if you're into gear, if you're into camping, if you're into anything outdoors, really, this is going to be a podcast and a content channel, I suppose, for you. So anyway, this week on the podcast, or this month on the podcast, I am joined by Chase Tucker, otherwise known as Chase Mountains. You might know him from his YouTube channel mainly and his social media, where he provides a lot of video and tutorials on how to stay healthy, how to stay strong, how to stay mobile when exploring the great outdoors. Chase actually joined me back in April or March, I believe, for the recording of this podcast. But as I said, podcast unfortunately took a bit of a backseat. As I said, you can check out the video version of this podcast over on our YouTube channel. And yeah, look, we got into a really cool conversation just about the outdoors, moving from a corporate life to a life in the outdoors and helping people to get outdoors and feel strong and confident in the outdoors, but then also having a good balance between online and offline life. Chase is a great guest, had a great conversation with him. We share a lot of the same kind of outlooks on life and life in the outdoors. So yeah, it was a really great conversation. I can't wait to have Chase back on again soon to talk a little bit more specific around the type of work that he does and maybe some hints and tips for you to stay strong and mobile in the outdoors. So I'm not going to yarn on anymore. You know who the sponsor is. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Chase Tucker, aka Chase Mountains. It's like dinner time there, but what did you have for lunch today?
You're going to be exposing me here. I don't even know what I had. I think had like a really late, breakfast. So I had like a big bowl of oats around lunchtime with peanut butter, coconut yogurt, yes, chia seeds, hemp seeds, and a few other little things like that. Basically like a big kind of muesli mix. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, that sounds exactly like my breakfast. I have like now my partner Sharon, she makes this. It's almost like a bowl of ice cream. There's like there's oats, there's granola, there's yogurt, there's peanut butter, like so much peanut butter in it. I don't know how I don't have like, you know, I'm not obese at this point in time. Like every single morning, it's that big.
There's a lot of calories in peanut butter. That's probably going to be my number one thing to take hiking, actually, to bring peanut butter. I think.
Oh yeah, if you need to top up the calories on a daily basis, you need peanut butter. Yeah,
yeah.
Cool. Right. So, how did it all start? How did Chase Mountains begin?
Started at a very low point. I don't want to kick the podcast off with a sad story.
It's okay. We just talked about peanut butter, so it's all fine.
We start on a high with peanut butter. No, I mean, I was in a situation where I was working for like a fairly big corporate company, and I wasn't particularly enjoying it, and I didn't really see myself kind of continuing there, and I really wanted to do my own thing. I was under a lot of stress, and I wasn't really dealing with it very well, and I just kind of rage quit my job and sat around for a couple of weeks, and I wasn't sure what I was going to do. And you know, around that time I started to get more interested in fitness, because I knew that that was probably leading me into, you know, the situation that I was in mentally, and I was really enjoying it. So what I decided to do, like, I always wanted to do stuff in the outdoor industry, and at the time I was working for Cedar Summit, and I literally was talking to somewhere between a career advisor and a psychologist, and they asked me, like, what do you feel like doing? Like, and I said, well, I just had this stupid haircut and I look like a personal trainer, so maybe I should be a personal trainer. She said, why don't you do that? And I was like, well, maybe I will. And then I started thinking about it, and it didn't take me long to decide that that's what I wanted to do. So
just for the job you want.
Yeah. And from the start, I wanted to focus on hiking and mountaineering, because that's what I was into. And that was about 10 years ago. Well, more. It was just like 2012. Okay. 11 years ago now. Yeah. That's just history.
Did you follow a path of, you know, personal trainer, you know, sports and nutrition? You know, what kind of path did you choose to get to that point?
My path was in biomechanics and like just a standard sort of personal training certificate. I interned with anyone who I could find who knew anything about posture and biomechanics. And so my path of education was kind of through the back door in a lot of ways, but very practical, because I was learning my own body and discovering my own limitations and learning from other people in a very practical way.
Right.
But at the same time, I was, you know, going to school and getting my certificates and that kind of thing. It all happened quite quickly. But I'm a very sort of practical learner, so it worked out quite well.
And at what point then did you kind of connect the dots on creating a channel and like creating the like videos to help people to rehab or to grow strength and to be more confident in the outdoors?
Luckily enough, from kind of day one, I knew that there was going to be limitations in terms of like how many people I could reach and how much money I could earn and that kind of thing. And, you know, the internet or YouTube was sort of really in its infancy when I started. So I just started putting up the exercises that I was doing, and they're terrible. Like I look back at them now and it's cringeworthy, but I just started putting stuff out, and realistically that was for like a record of these exercises so that I could share them with people, because I was, you know, coaching people online and I didn't even know how to make them private, so that were just public and people started watching them. Before I knew it, I had 2,000 subscribers watching all this stuff. Wow. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe I should, you know, make a couple of videos about, you know, using trekking poles correctly and just like basic stuff. So yeah, that's kind of how I started.
Yeah, you find that these kind of simple search terms they tend to lead into video content. I'm sure that's probably where a lot of your stuff comes from, is people asking you questions and, you know, just looking, what are people looking for? Like, what are the things that people are looking for? And that's probably the makeup of your videos. How do you come up with the ideas for your videos?
I literally just scroll through the comments and see what
people right.
And also, like, I'll look at, you know, other people that I follow in other industries and see what they're doing. And you know, I try and keep the amount of influence that I try and keep the amount of content that I'm watching to like to a minimum and keep it really sort of good quality. And a lot of it comes from there. Yeah.
Okay. Well, with hiking then, I suppose on your YouTube channel, you talk about your first hike. You're from Tasmania and it's like, it's known for its landscapes and it's amazing mountains and trails and everything. So what was it like growing up there and kind of getting into the outdoors industry?
Tricky. It's right. There was a platform for it for sure, but the school that I went to didn't have much of an outdoor program. There was a couple of trips here and there, but it really started just with like one or two friends who said, as soon as they got their license, as soon as they could drive a car, they were like, hey, do you want to come to the mountains? And I was like, yeah, absolutely, definitely. And that, yeah, like I said in that video, that's kind of where things started for me and where I fell in love with going into like these really wild environments that are only like maybe an hour and a half drive from where I grew up. So I was really lucky in that sense that I had access to that stuff. But it's not like I was, you know, in Boy Scouts or anything, even though I probably could have. Yeah.
Well,
I got into rock climbing when I actually moved to a bigger city that did actually have like a rock climbing gym. And that's the one thing that my little small town didn't have and still doesn't have, even really? Though there's good, very good rock climbing within like an hour or two. Yeah.
Well, mate, I wonder, is that why they don't have a rock climbing gym? Because it's just like, well, the rock's there, the crag's there. Yeah. Let's just all go outside.
Yeah, for sure.
So then what led you to Spain? How did you end up living in Spain then?
Well, I met a girl, which is usually the reason people move to the other side of the planet. My partner's actually, she's half Swedish, half Norwegian, but she grew up here in Catalonia. It's complex. And she wanted to come back here and study her master's. And I was kind of at the point where I wanted to get out of my, I had like a physical gym based back in Australia. And I was kind of at the point where I needed to either do the online thing or, you know, stay just doing offline and stay in Australia. And I chose to throw all my effort into the online stuff and I moved here.
Okay.
Yeah, that was about 5 years ago.
And I've heard you speak it in a couple of other videos, but your Spanish seems to be pretty good. Is that like was that before you went, or is that something you picked up along the way?
No. I've got a bit of a knack for picking up accents, and so this is where I get into trouble because my accent is quite good, and people just think I'm Spanish, and then they just let loose on me. But I'm actually pretty terrible at Spanish. I think like because I'm working in English all the time and I have very little exposure to the outside world, like my interactions and my group of friends are all like very international. So I can certainly get by, but I've got a lot of work to do there. Lots and lots of work to do. And then there's Catalan on top of that, which is a whole nother thing. It's a bit of a sore point for me, actually.
Okay, yeah. So just jumping back into hiking, your journey through hiking and, you know, through hiking and then through hiking, did you, what was your first through hike that you ever did?
Well, the first, what I would sort of deem as a through hike is something that's, you know.
Yeah.
It's an established trail. Yeah. Point A to point B, you know, definitely. I consider through hiking to be like a long distance kind of journey.
Yeah.
So I guess in that, by that definition, it would be the GR11.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that was in, 2020. It was,
It's not that long ago, actually.
No.
I thought you'd been doing them for a lot longer than that, but you've done a few. You've done a good few.
By my definition, I've only done the GR11 and the HRP.
And the HRP,
I've done other stuff, but it hasn't been, you know, these trails that are well-established and defined and that kind of thing. Yeah, they're the really only, like, two through hikes that I would say that I've done.
Okay.
But I go hiking every year for, you know, sometimes a week or more. It's just not what I would really consider a through hike, I suppose.
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, it's loose definitions on what a through hike is, and sometimes people want to call what they did as a through hike, and it might not necessarily be what somebody else calls a through hike. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you want to call it a through hike, go for it. It doesn't really matter. Like I said a while ago, maybe a year ago, that I was going to stop doing through hiking, and you know, for various different reasons, and it was mainly just because I couldn't, you know, continue to take a month off every year to go walking around. Like I have responsibilities, not just with my business, but other stuff as well. So I guess I can shorten that that definition and maybe go, I'd like to go and do the GR20, which I can, I could probably now knock that over in 6 or 7 days. And even just like, I would love to come to the UK and do some of those short, like the Cumberland Way and stuff like that, because they're kind of doable and quite short. And, you know, they're not so much about big mountains, but I really just enjoy like walking through villages and beautiful spring weather on a warm day, especially in spring and summer. Like I was trying to explain to my girlfriend the other day about, because she's not a hiker, I was trying to explain like that feeling of putting a backpack on and having everything that you need within in the back of your pack, and just the like amazing freedom, like the sense of freedom that you feel when you can just like, I can do whatever I want. I can walk for as long as I want and stop and eat and sleep when I want. Like that's the feeling that I love. Of course, it's nice when there's mountains involved in that, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that way for me. And I think I'll continue to walk as I grow old, and it would be nice to sort of keep something like the Camino de Santiago, even though it's a very popular hike. You know, that's something that I can do when I'm, you know, 90, hopefully. Mm. That's the goal.
Yeah. It's almost like a food tour at that point. You go from town to town and you're just having these great meals with local villages. But that's definitely on my list as well.
Yeah.
I suppose on that, like which would be your kind of preference when doing either long distance trails or hiking in general, like hiking solo or hiking with friends or a group?
Ooh, if I had to choose one, I would probably choose doing it with friends. Having said that, I really enjoy the time on my own. And I think, especially when I'm filming, I get weird around like filming people. I feel like they don't want to be filmed or they don't want to be on my YouTube channel or whatever. So if I am planning on making a film, often I'll do that as a solo trip. But there's nothing like the relationships that you build when you're in that environment with people. And I think that's an important part of it. And I did those two crossings of the Pyrenees, and the majority of that was alone. And I feel like that time can be very useful for almost anyone, but it was definitely useful for me. But I think filming it certainly took away a certain part of the joy of being solo, which I'm quite wary of now. I would very much like to go and do something and not film it and just, you know, be a bit selfish.
Yeah.
And not share it with anyone.
Because funny that we mentioned before this, you were on the Craig Adams podcast, and that's something that I always, I suppose, kind of perplexes me, is that he does so many of these solo hikes where he records them, and they're fantastic videos. There's no argument there, but I don't know, maybe he has some sort of drone that comes in and picks up the camera, and or he has it down to a T. I don't know what he does, but I think that's a level of production precision that I don't think I would ever be able to achieve, having to run back and get your camera, do it again and make sure you have the right shot.
He's definitely got a formula and he's got a system, and knowing, I'm not his best friend, but I know the guy reasonably well, and like he's an organized guy and he has systems, and I think he found something that he enjoyed and he found something that people loved, and he's just really dialed in on that. So, yeah, he seems to be getting out a lot, but at the same time, I think there's always this perception when you see photos and videos from like influencers that seem like they're out all the time. But I think he's probably spending a lot of time just chilling at home as well. Like I am.
Well, he has to edit his videos as well.
Yeah, someone's going to do it. Someone's going to do the hard work. Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably hard to pick a favorite, but like what out of the two long distance trails that you've done, like is there either of those that have been favorite? I suppose it's almost like picking your favorite kid if you had one.
Yeah, it's a bit like that. I think I had a better time on the GR11 because we had a really good trail family and I don't know, it was just, I have fonder memories of it. The HRP, there was a couple of, you know, towards the end of the HRP, I was kind of done with it and I was doing, you know, 45 kilometer days and I was hiking well into the night. You know, I missed my girlfriend. I wanted to get home and I was hiking until like 2 o'clock in the morning on some of these days. So I was just kind of punishing myself towards the end of it. And I don't look back on that very fondly. I did the HRP during COVID and there was all these dramas with crossing borders. That's a long story that I'll tell one day, but that also kind of, I definitely looked more fondly back on the GR11.
Right. And what, like in terms of like challenging, like are they both kind of the same level of difficulty? Like I've just seen some of the videos from the HRP, it looked like pretty hardcore in some places.
Yeah, it does get into like glaciated terrain for a couple of days. It's also just generally more exposed, generally at a higher altitude. I think the ascent and descent is actually around the same.
Hmm.
And then there's also more sort of navigation challenges. But I don't know, like I've never really struggled with navigation at all.
Okay.
So you just follow the dots. I would say that, yeah, the HRP is definitely more physically demanding and the GR11 is a little more kind of like, it's more like a stroll, but it's still very hard.
Yeah. Physically.
Yeah.
And have you got any plans then for any further like long distance trails, or is it more kind of all around outdoorness?
All around outdoorness is definitely my thing. Like I said, I'd like to do the GR20. I would definitely like to do the GR10. I think that's kind of like the triple crown of the Pyrenees. You know, I've done two. I'd like to do the GR10 to call three off. But yeah, never say never. I think as I get older and as I sort of dedicate more time to myself, then I will certainly go back to doing some more long distance stuff. But I think, yeah, I literally do every mountain sport there is almost. Like I like rock climbing, I like mountaineering, I like skiing, ski touring. So I kind of spread myself out throughout the year doing all this stuff and hiking, I think, as much as that's, I tend to focus on that in my content because I think that's probably what my reader base wants to see or my viewership wants to see. There's lots of other stuff that I do that I don't put out there.
Well, I suppose from a content point of view, it is a lot more accessible. Like anybody can watch a video about hiking and kind of get it, you know, they can understand. But a lot of your videos are around rehab. They're around building strength for hiking and for through hiking. Are you that rigorous with your own kind of training when it comes to that?
Yeah. I'm pretty good. I mean, I go through phases. Like I'm not gonna sit here and pretend like I've never had a day off or I've never felt like crap and not done a workout, because it happens all the time. But I think I can't sit here and say what I say without actually doing the thing.
Yeah.
And during those times where I'm not doing the thing, my God, do I feel terrible about myself, because there's so much, like I feel disingenuous, you know? So it only takes me a day or two of that to be like, oh, I'm back.
Because
it's such an important part of my life. And also just, it's physical. It's physical and mental hygiene, really. That's kind of what I'm trying to promote and encourage people to do, is to think about fitness not as something to do 6 weeks before your trip, but rather, yeah, a hygiene that is important to maintaining the level of health and vitality that you want, and as a way of feeling good all the time.
Yeah. So I guess, is it having, you know, just an open mind to the various different activities that you do, and then kind of building like an exercise regime around that?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I don't track like how many kilometers I hike, for example. But I am doing something every day, whether it's working on my feet or my posture or building strength or running. That's I'm kind of at a point where I don't need to train to go hiking. It's more about just finding more balance in my body, understanding it a little bit more, and working on the niggles and figuring out things that take a long time or things that are new to me. Like I'm really into amplifying my diaphragm and breathing really well, and doing lots of like conscious breath work and working on my feet. So I spend a lot of time doing that. And I think probably people assuming that I'm in the gym, like deadlifting and going nuts on some crazy workout. But most of the time I'm just like fiddling with my toes.
That reminds me of, you may be familiar with a guy called David Gray, David Gray Rehab. He's kind of well-known Irish physiotherapist and sports physiotherapist. But yeah, like that, he does the exact same thing. Like people think that he's in the gym every single day, but he's actually just like pressing little parts of his hand every day just to figure where is it? Where is the point? Okay, there it is. I got it.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, there's a healthy amount of lifting heavy weights, that kind of thing as well.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned running there. Is that something that like you see yourself taking up, like, or well, sorry, you obviously taking it up, but have you ever done trail running or like endurance running, ultra running?
I've done a hell of a lot of running in the mountains, but I've never done anything like competitively. Maybe that's a personality fault of mine, that I'm just not competitive enough, or I don't, I'm just not really interested in like beating people and racing against the time. But I do really enjoy just putting running shoes on and carrying a light trail running pack and just running in the mountains. That's one of my favorite things to do. And part of the reason why I sort of transitioned into more ultralight is because I'm getting an ultralight enough now that it's basically like fast packing, or whatever you want to call it, somewhere between through hiking and fast packing. And so, yeah, like a lot of the time I am actually running, especially downhill. Like I can cruise downhills and utilize that, utilize gravity to get a bit more speed.
Yeah.
So I love it. Yeah. I really noticed
that actually in one of your HRP videos, I just saw you running downhill, and like the packs they're not small packs. Like they're still big enough packs, but you're definitely not like walking down a hill at all.
No, I mean, I find it easier a lot of the time to run downhill. And yeah, the lighter the pack gets, the easier that becomes. If I wasn't taking a camera and a tripod, it would be even lighter. that would be nice.
Yeah, that was like us in the early days of Hiker, when we're trying to record content for our social media and for our YouTube, like carrying around the early drone, you know, the big DJI drones.
Yeah.
You have to have in like a box like this big. Like, why did I choose this? Like Paul, our founder, he went and did the Tour de Mont Blanc, and he carried that on across the entire thing. Guy's a lunatic. Yeah.
Commitment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Commitment to the shot.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many people now that are just absolutely dominating in terms of making cinematic hiking videos. I see a new person every day on YouTube making these incredible videos. just with like buttery footage and incredibly high quality cameras and lenses. And, you know, they've got like 1,000 subscribers or something. I'm like, why isn't anyone, why isn't this blowing up? Like, why isn't anyone watching this? So I think it's more about like engaging people in a story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of these kind of creators are just getting incredibly cinematic shots and beautiful imagery, but missing that element of like human connection. And my videos are certainly not cinematic. I try my best, but the storytelling element, even though I'm not putting a lot of effort into that, just like, you know, having characters and having things occur and I just try my best to sort of capture what's actually happening with people. And that's when people engage with your stuff, because you're telling a story and they're sort of following that rather than just looking at the most beautiful footage ever. It'd be nice to have and I think Craig hits both of those right in the middle. Like, he's obviously incredibly, incredibly good as a videographer and very good storytelling as well. And I'm sure there's many, many others that are doing the same.
Yeah. Mm. I think Craig, I suppose he did come in at an early stage. He's almost like one of the first to do this on YouTube and the scale that he did it at. But he does tell a story with his videography as well. It's not just the images. It's the story of him doing the trail and doing the hike. And I definitely get that from his videos and from your videos as well. I definitely get that. Like the human story, if we bring it to hiking, I don't know if you remember or have heard of Alina Osborne.
Yeah. We chat sometimes.
She's very good. But very storyteller good. Extraordinaire. Like she is like the master at this, you know, and her video about the PCT is literally called It Is the People. And it's about the people that you meet. And this goes back to what you were saying earlier on. The best journeys are those ones, the best adventures are the ones that are shared and the ones that you can meet people either along the way or they're people that you thought you knew and you know now know better. And I think when people see that, they resonate with it much more than they would just looking at a pretty video. You know, everyone can have a nice screensaver. But it's nice to have a story to go along with.
Yeah, it's a reason to come back to it to you know, find out what happens. I think like the hard part about that is as someone who's capturing something, you know, should you be trying to capture the drama or create drama or think about, you know, what could possibly be entertaining for people? And then on the flip side of that is, can I actually be present and enjoy the process along the way? And I think that's something that I've sort of really struggled with. Not getting sucked into trying to film all the time and rather just enjoying what's actually happening and maybe trying to just get a clip here and there and figure out how to tell the story later. Because when you try and make things happen, it just feels not right. And if you're trying to film everything, then you lose a lot of the actual experience for yourself. Yeah. Tricky.
Yeah, very tricky. And I've only dabbled at it myself, and I don't know if I'll go any further into it. It doesn't seem like anybody's like truly figured it out, because you know, the algorithms change all the time, and what audiences are interested in. Look at like the rise of TikTok. You know, that's in a lot of ways is taking over from Google search. You know, people are searching TikTok for content, you know. So, and how people engage with TikTok is different to how they engage with YouTube or Google or Instagram or any other channel. So it's an ever evolving dilemma that you need to figure out. I suppose somebody that is getting into YouTube or into content creation for the first time, is there any advice that you would give them?
Be as authentically yourself as humanly possible and get comfortable on camera. And the only way you're going to do that is just putting content out. Like, film it and put it out. Like, it's going to be terrible. You're going to cringe.
Yeah.
But that's the only way to do it. You just need practice and you need to keep doing it regularly.
Yes.
That's my advice. And there's nothing wrong with copying other people and emulating other people and, you know, looking at what works and becoming a bit of an analyst in a way as well.
Well, that's creativity. Look, that's how music is created.
Mm.
You know, like, that's how art is created. People emulate what they see around them, what other people are doing to, and they know that that is something that people like. So I'm going to create something just like that, but I'm going to put my own flavor on it. So I think that's pretty good advice. And then I suppose people getting into hiking for the first time, or like, it's hard to, whenever I say that, I'm like, getting into hiking for the first time, people that I want to go out and like start to actually do more serious hikes. Is there any advice that you give to those people?
Don't go climbing up anything you can't climb down.
Yeah.
Or hiking up anything you can't hike down.
Where were you 4 years ago? Me?
I think that's probably the best piece of advice I can offer in that situation. It's very difficult because, you know, are we talking about Alaska?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Or are we talking about, you know, the lower hills of the UK? Those two things are very different.
Mm-hmm.
I think everything comes from experience, and like, you will make mistakes and you will learn. Don't try and learn everything on the internet before you go, because it's not going to happen. Like, mm-hmm. Practical advice is, I mean, it's great. I like giving actionable advice to people, but it's certainly not the be all and end all. You need to actually experience it yourself in order to really obtain that information and learn the lesson for yourself. All the advice in the world is, you can contain all of this knowledge, but unless you personify that knowledge by actually getting out and doing it, then it's likely you'll not really retain it and actually own that knowledge.
So make mistakes.
Yeah. And don't be scared of making mistakes.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much all I do on my, well, I do lots of stuff, but a lot of what I do on my channel is just like sharing the dumb things that I've done in the mountains or otherwise. And I'll continue to do that because I'll continue to make mistakes always. Because I'm pushing myself and going out and probably doing things that I shouldn't a lot of the time. But that's kind of part and parcel of the adventure. I like, you know, pushing my physical limits and also the limits of what people sort of expect hiking is or climbing is, because that's just what I found to be the best way to learn, like learn my limits, learn my body. And also like understand the geography as well. When you are in like relatively sketchy sort of environments, you start to understand what rotten rock feels like. You start to understand what hollow, unstable ice or snow feels like. And until you're in that situation, you're not going to recognize those dangers. Like, you have to sort of be there and feel it and touch it in order for you to recognize those things. And it's not something you can learn on the internet, really.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you can't learn it in an app. You can't learn it from social media. You literally have to be there and do it and make the mistake. Hopefully it's not too big a mistake. But think on the subject of mistakes, like, I think I have a huge YouTube career ahead of me because I've made some dumb, silly mistakes over and over again.
Yeah.
Well, look, we're getting to the time here. I'm sure I have 20 other questions, but I tend to like knock it off around 35 minutes. just because people get bored. it's the perfect podcast length. Chase, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. And if you're listening to this or you're watching this, be sure to go onto Chase's YouTube channel. He's got tons of content around building strength, rehab, everything to help you to be more prepared in the outdoors. And yeah, looking forward to seeing everything you do and catching you up, hopefully catching up to you on the GR20. It is a goal of mine for this year as well, so maybe we might be able to do that.
Excellent. Yeah, I'd be happy to come back and chat to you another time as well. Thanks for the invite. It's always nice.
Nice and Chase. Cheers.
Thanks, Alan. Cheers, man.
Thank you for tuning into this podcast. I'm just glad to kind of dust off the podcast jitters, getting one out again. And they always say, just put it out there. Don't think about it too much. Just put it out there. So I'm so thankful for you for tuning into this show and listening to my conversation with Chase. And thank you again to Chase for coming on and have a really good conversation with us on the podcast. As I said, I'm really looking forward to having Chase back on soon to talk more about specific tips and tricks and workouts that can help you to stay mobile and strong in the outdoors. In the meantime, go check out Chase on his socials, but mainly on his YouTube. Just search Chase Mentons on YouTube and you'll see a whole library of different videos with advice and tips and tricks on how to stay mobile and strong in the outdoors. We'll have another podcast soon, but yeah, just keep an eye out on our social media, on our email newsletter, check out our website, obviously check out the app itself, just search Hiker, H-I-I-K-E-R in the App Store and Play Store now. Yeah, and until next time, happy trails.